You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Hello, and welcome to Staying Awake.
I have a sleeping disorder. I can't tell the difference between my waking life and dreams.
Hello, and welcome to Staying Awake.
I think I'm losing it.
We'll catch you on. You're bloody useless, Stevie.
Steven. I can't tell the difference between life and dreams.
Thank you.
Lost the contact lens.
Hope you find it.
Thanks.
Welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I am your moonish host, Dion. Along with other luminaries. There we go. That's the word. Luminaries. Luminaries? What? Other luminaries. Who else is here? Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, I'm the moon.
I'm the moon.
Christ on a bike.
Sorry?
Christ on a bike. Who are you? You're all there.
I'm Quinny. Hi. Hello, everybody. How's this?
Yes, hello. Who else have we got there?
Hey, it's Jill.
Hey, Jill-a-roo. And last but not least,
I'm Peter. Yay. And I kind of miss introducing ourselves all the time. Haven't we not done that for a little while?
No, we haven't probably done that for a while. Like things have been, like, it's been a long, two long weekends in a row and people have been doing stuff, you know. Mm. So, you know, sure, let's get back to it. Let's get back to the normal thing.
Yeah, we haven't been doing it because I've been running it off StreamYard and that's significantly more complicated in my mind. This one, I just turn up and talk. It's so much easier.
Yes, that sort of aneurysm is back to me now. So I'm like, multi-screen.
Take all that, you bastard.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Fun.
Yes.
Just waiting for the next thing to go wrong. Go right. I don't really know. Sometimes I feel like I'm having a very nice, vidcast, podcast, Twitch stream, live stream, whatever you want to call it. And then I wake up and I'm somewhere else.
Oh, dear.
That's, you can get a cream for that.
Oh. Can you? Oh. Mental health advocates around the world are suddenly stunned as you solve 99% problems.
This is a shit of identity disorder. Yes. You can get a cream for that.
Just what? Put a cream on it.
No, you can't.
Anyway, yeah.
Yes.
What are we doing tonight?
Well, hang on. Is the moon out? I can't tell. Hey. What's the state of the moon at the moment?
It's waxing lyrical at the moment.
Chicken app.
Yeah. We're talking about Moon Knight. I love that a few people have kind of gone, why are you talking about it now? Like, shouldn't you have waited for the end?
Shut up!
Is that the answer?
It's like, okay, but also Doctor Strange. Only have so many streaming nights a week.
I know, right?
And life. We've got to do it sometime.
Yeah, yeah. We can't just watch it and then talk about it immediately. Yep. We would just constantly be online.
You know what? Well, let's just shut this down now and come back tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. See you all Wednesday, everybody.
Sure. Just throw that schedule out the window. No one needs plans.
It's fine.
Look, if you can hold in your excitement for Severance until the end of this month.
Right.
See?
That's a bit irritating to me, but, you know,
That's fine.
I have to acknowledge that a lot of people in the chat, even before we started, are very, very worried that we're going to have some kind of Doctor Strange spoilers.
No.
I couldn't spoil it if I tried, guys. I know absolutely nothing.
None of us are at the premiere right now.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing feat. But because we love you guys so much, we gave all of that up to talk about Moon Knight.
That's exactly what happened.
Right? We're going to talk about a show that hasn't finished yet. because we love you guys.
Yeah. Well, we have got a lot to talk about, though, because there are five episodes out, and there is a lot of supposition about what's going to be happening in that final episode. And there's a lot to dig into with this show. Like, it is very, very thickly layered with images and ideas and possibilities as to what it all means, and even whether or not this is going to be another Loki and end on a cliffhanger, or whether or not we're going to get a neat wrap up in the episode that comes out tomorrow. So there's plenty to talk about. It's not going to be a light on show.
No,
promise.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's get into it then. Do you have some sort of?
Sorry, Predakenga just made a terrible joke. Yes, there is a lot to excavate.
Oh.
I like how we're delegating the jokes to the chat now.
It's all right.
We've done that
run
for
out
a while.
Of material,
no,
Tim.
No, it's fine. Yep. Like,
I use all of my funny that's in the ticker. All of my humor done.
Look, we're here tonight to find out whether or not, you know, Moon Knight is that book from the bookstore you used to see as a child, which was the Egypt book with the gem in the middle and that everyone wanted to buy. Yes. Remember that? Remember those ones?
Yeah, the Egyptology book.
Egyptology,
which was very clearly aimed at tweens.
Or is this, you know, something got a little bit more bite to it? Is it more of the History Channel Egypt, less of the, you know, pasted over Egypt? Or is Oscar Isaac just doing exactly what he was doing in X-Men Apocalypse? He's the god of Egypt and purple now. Anyway.
I was reading an interview with him actually talking about his experience on X-Men Apocalypse and why he took it. And I was just like, oh, you poor fucker. So Oscar Isaac obviously played Apocalypse in that terrible film. Mm. Mm-hmm. And the whole reason he took it is like, yeah, pretty good director, got some pedigree. I want to act with, you know, James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender and all these amazing people, going to have a great time. Even if it's not a great film, I'm going to get to act with them. And then he's like, so they put 40 pounds of armor on me, 5 hours of makeup every day, and in between takes I had to go into a temperature-controlled room, otherwise I would die, so I didn't get to talk to anyone, and it was terrible.
Welcome to making Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Well, is that a Marvel movie, or that was technically a Fox movie?
Well, I mean, any superhero movie.
What does the Fox make? Shit sometimes.
What does the fox say? Shit.
Yeah, so I've got some music for you. You got a synopsis there, Quinny? Hang on, let me get
Ooh. Now, do you want it as Stephen or Mark?
Switch between. Go on.
What does an Egyptian accent sound like?
Yeah, no. It's not going anywhere near that. Moon Knight follows Stephen Grant. A mild-mannered gift shop employee who becomes plagued with blackouts and memories of another life. Stephen discovers he has dissociative identity disorder and shares a body with a mercenary called Mark Spector. There you go.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I know it's no Oscar Isaac, but I'm doing my best here.
You're so close to just... You're getting a Christopher Walken there. Yeah. You almost lost it.
I was trying to do Stevie, you know. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He's one step removed from fucking the old rock and roller. I can't remember the name of.
The old rock and roller? Who's an old rock and roller?
The one who ate bats.
Ozzy Osbourne.
He's one step removed from Ozzy Osbourne.
Pretty sure that was Batman.
That's how he got his powers.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes. Look,
doesn't work in real life. We've found that out the hard way for the past 2 years.
Now, how do we all feel about it when Marvel was finishing off their Phase 4 and heading?
Are we finishing it off, or are we still in the guts of it?
No. What was their phase when they're going to Avengers Endgame? Is that Phase 3?
Three.
End of Phase 3. Yes. Yeah. And then they started announcing all of the shows that were coming out with, and Moon Knight was one of those ones that popped up, and everyone went,
confused us.
Not sure what's going on with that one. And yeah. knowing that the biggest fan in the of Marvel stuff here is Peter, she was thrilled. She, I remember she messaged me immediately saying, "What the fuck's Moon Knight?" going, and I'm like, "I don't have enough time to explain to you, but basically, he's got some issues, and he's Egyptian-ish."
Adjacent.
Yeah.
He's not Egyptian. He's adjacent.
Yes. Yes. He's well, maybe Jason's in there. We don't know.
That's extra Jason. Anyway, yeah. It is. Yeah, but it's a weird choice. How many of you, like Jill, had you read any of the Moon Knight comics?
I've never read Moon Knight. No.
I made a point of reading some when this was coming out. Like okay. I had. A book that was so years ago at one of the shows I worked on, we had David Finch, who was a really good comic book artist. Somebody gave him one of his books of Moon Knight. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, cool. Right. Let's fucking get into this. Cause I love the look of the character. Yeah. I love the design. I thought it was real cool. I read the book and I came out at the end of it going, oh dear. Oh no, this is going to be weird.
I'm really happy it's weird.
Well, and the thing, like this particular one was not a fun weird. This was just like, this is a guy who's, you know, been a superhero for too long and is now all broken and fucked up and doesn't know what's real and doesn't know, you know, who he is, and his gods abandon him. And it was really miserable. Like it was a book of misery. And I just kind of read that and went, oh, fuck Christ.
Not a good one to jump on with then.
Yeah. And then I've done some reading and realized that there is actually a lot more, and that's quite a late book. And so, yeah, this was not a good indicator of what Moon Knight is actually all about.
No, the hot take of it is what if Batman was poor and, you know, had mental health issues, but Batman already does have mental health issues.
Yeah.
What if he has a lot more obvious mental health issues and without the money?
Mm. Though, I mean, in different versions, like one of the things is that like in different versions, you get different alternates of who Moon Knight is, whether he's Mark Spector or whether he's a cab driver or whether he's Stephen Grant, who, you know, I don't think has ever been a British lackey working in a museum, but, you know, whatever. But one of them was a millionaire. So,
oh wow, okay.
Yeah, there is a version of Moon Knight in there that he is essentially a bit like Batman.
Well, the greatest thing is, you know, now they're doing multiverse, you can have all of those. You just have alternate reality Moon Knight.
But all of them would be a millionaire.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that there have been so many different versions of it over the years that, you know.
Yeah,
okay. Sure. I guess the thing with the comparison to Batman is that he doesn't, like in the comic, he doesn't have magical powers.
Yeah.
Like he's, yeah.
He's exactly. been misrepresented.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, you know, he is come an
athlete
on.
And that's about it.
When they're trying, like, I kind of really like the TV show because it's coming from, it's pulling together a lot of stuff. They can do whatever they really want with Moon Knight because no one really particularly, like there's not a huge dedicated Moon Knight fan base out there that is just like, oh my God, they've ruined the character. That's going to just stop watching it because this one's just kind of like, cool, making Moon Knight. You've made some weird shit and it's pretty good Egyptian. Mm. Like I like the representation of Egypt and Middle Eastern culture in this particularly because it was good.
Yeah.
Because it's not a bad place. It's full of nice people, has interesting music and culture, and is civilized rather than what they say is like, let's just chuck a sepia tone on it. And then you know you're Thank in you. A foreign country.
Yeah. I did love that. I saw an interview with the director or one of the main directors of the series who was just like, I don't want to do Egypt the way that everybody else does Egypt, which is a bunch of dust, you know, some kind of rug sales. A bunch of people selling things and a sepia tone. That's, you know, boring.
Yeah. Yeah. The showrunner did mention that, like, he thought Wonder Woman 84 did Egypt dirty and he wanted to rectify that in this show. But, you know, the weird part about it is that none of it's actually filmed in Egypt.
No. Because Egypt doesn't allow filming at the moment.
No. It's all filmed in Budapest, which,
Which is very strange.
Weird to have a visionary want to portray Egypt but can't actually do it. So
strange, you know. Because they reference Budapest in other Marvel franchises and they didn't film them in Budapest. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Was it Budapest? I thought it was also Jordan, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Could be wrong. Anyway, doesn't matter. I believe that one of those things that is Egypt adjacent.
Egypt adjacent. Yes.
Wait,
are we all up to speed? Sorry, like, have you watched all the episodes up until this one? Are you just waiting for the finale? Which is, I really don't know where they're going to go with this because I'm still confused about a lot of things, and I'm still trying to figure out if I highbrow like the series or kind of lowbrow loathe the series because there's just not enough action.
Does this
make sense?
Okay. Yes. I'm the opposite though. Like from the trailer, I thought, this would be a fantastic series, even if it wasn't all about like this Egyptian stuff and superheroes and that kind of thing. If it was just like a really interesting take on what dissociative identity disorder is and like using that as a storyline to understand a person. This looks so cool. And like all of the clips and stuff in the trailer made it look like really mind-bending and you don't know what's going on. Like, oh, this could be a cool thriller. And I'm kind of wishing there was more of that, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We really got a good taste of it in episode 4. And I kind of wish that there was more of it at the start of the show.
Like I thought it started, like it had a really strong opening episode where, you know, you set up your character and then you throw him into some fucking weird situations. And, you know, there was some good action beats and there was some really interesting kind of stuff going on. And then it led up to this big reveal of the superhero outfit. And, you know, there's monsters and there's demons and there's all sorts of shit going on. And you're like, okay, this is... Like that first episode, I was like, fuck yeah, I feel like this is really interesting.
Yeah.
And then, it started to go in very strange directions and I really wasn't sure what. And to be honest, I don't know that it doesn't feel like to me it's actually settled into what it is.
No. No, it doesn't. Yeah, feel
which
like
is
that
this. That's
either.
The thing is that there's this damn shame where I'm watching it going, this could go somewhere really interesting. It's going to end.
It just got up to the real juicy, interesting stuff. And now we've only got one episode left. I'm like, how are they going to wrap this up? I just want more. I want like five more episodes.
Because I really like, I agree. When we were watching the first few episodes, I'm like, this is a great hook. You know, half the time the character doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. because he just sort of wakes up in these outrageous situations. And I was kind of like, oh, great. You know, it's a good way to save money because you haven't got to do a hell of a lot of stunt work. You can miss a few fight scenes until we get to that kind of switch and then you could follow each character. They kind of didn't really do that. But then it started getting into the weird shit. And if you all know how much I love Legion, like go and watch Legion. Legion is some weird shit. And Doom Patrol is some weird shit. And that's good. Like, that's good, weird shit superhero stuff. But Legion is great. And I was, like, really going, lean into the Legion shit, man.
Yeah, me too.
Just give me 6-episode series that's all like episode 4 and 5. Like, that's all I want.
Yeah, I would like that. But also I feel like there had to be an amount of other stuff in there to kind of get you up to the point where you're...
Yeah.
But
at the end of the day, it's about a superhero.
But I love this. Isn't the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? This was like when it started off, it was like, this is just really leaning into some horror shit. Like a guy being haunted by a giant scythe wielding crow man. Like,
I wanted more of that.
Yeah. It was kind of like, oh, this is going to be fun. And then it kind of didn't really go there. And I was like, oh, it could have been really horror. And that kind of could have been cool. But yeah, again,
Pete, where are you at with it? Because I've got a lot to say about this, but I want to hear what you think about it.
Let's see. I knew nothing. I didn't so much as watch a trailer. I was like, new Marvel series is on. Press play on new Marvel series. And I enjoyed the first episode, and I struggled through 2 and 3, just in terms of it didn't hold my attention, and I kept having to like rewind stuff because I forgot that I just started to look at my phone.
Oh no.
It's a fair cop. I think if I was trying to binge this in like one after the other, I would be like, oh cool.
Well, to the point where I didn't even like watch 4 until like days afterward. It's not like I'm rushing home to watch this on a Wednesday night, like I have with some of the others. But then 4 got interesting and I enjoyed 5 and I'm interested to see the end. So there was just like a kind of a slow bit in there when you know, it's Mark chasing Ethan Hawke around Egypt that just didn't do anything.
Yeah, episode three
was not a great one.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll agree. I was frustrated by Ethan Hawke's character because he had a fantastic fucking introduction and then proceeds to be the blandest evil, which is kind of like, which is kind of like the right evil. He's like corporate America. He's obviously evil, but everyone kind of goes along with it. And you don't really feel threatened by him, even though he's probably going to send your grandma to hell.
I think his most interesting evil after the first episode was his performance in like episode 5, where you got to see him as like a different character, I suppose. The Ned Flanders moustache.
I thought this was great. Like, I mean, I can see why the actors latched onto this series because they were given like opportunity to, like, everyone always has an opportunity to play doubles of themselves. So they, like, a director, this would be a dream to get actors involved, because you're like, hey, you're going to play 3 characters. You're going to play 2. You know, you're going to be the linchpin that sits there and ties everyone together in the one sort of narrative, and all these people are going to play off you. That's fun.
Absolutely. And I love that when you get to the end of episode 4, there is this whole bit where all of the characters that have been throughout the rest of it are then in that place, in that asylum space. And you're like, oh, okay, right, cool. And yeah, now characters that we just assumed were background players or whatever potentially have a whole different level of meaning. But yeah, I do think that there's a, like Tari said a couple of times in the chat, that there's a pacing issue. And it sort of, it feels like it's barreling along but going nowhere. That's really frustrating to watch, because when you do finally get somewhere in episode 5, you're like, where were you the rest of the time?
And like, also it feels like there's still so much left to explore and we've only got one episode to do it in.
And there's a lot that's been set up too that we kind of like, I think it's episode 4 where they introduce the other gods and their avatars. Is that 3 or 4?
3.
Three was the introduction.
3. Yeah. And so there's this whole thing with, you know, an entire, and this is one of the things that is really big about this, is that we're introducing an entire pantheon of gods into the Marvel Universe, maybe, probably.
We'll find out after Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Another pantheon.
And we don't necessarily know, once again, where this fits into things until, you know, later on, where the hippo-headed goddess is. You know.
Yes. Before we're getting too spoilery there, Quinny.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You know,
we'll get to the hippo when we get to the hippo.
Okay. My apologies. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I just think it's really interesting that it's doing big things and it's trying to introduce really big concepts, but is threatening to pay them off at all. Like, there's this whole thing with Khonshu and, you know, the other gods and this millennia-long battle that I'm like, Are we gonna sort that out in the last 42 minutes? Because also, that's the other terrifying thing. The last episode is the shortest one of the season.
And I mean, look, do we really need to have the, this feels like a very long movie. Where it's like, oh no, the hero has to stop Skybeam from the sky or device that someone has done, you know, or ancient evil awoken from grave. You know, it's like, oh, don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into the trap. Mm. Yeah. But
yeah. Sorry, Rob's just made an interesting point in there that I actually forgotten. So the character who's introduced in episode 3 who owns the sarcophagus and the horse riding guy, who had the horses, unfortunately died either just during filming or straight after.
It was, oh yeah, I don't remember when actually.
But as such, there was a massive rewrite required to remove him from the plot, which then makes me kind of go, okay, that does kind of explain why that thing that felt like it was going somewhere went nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
I feel like it was after production, though. Are you sure that was a thing? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. But also, I mean, if you know that the actor is no longer with you, do you include any of his storyline going forward, knowing that you can't continue it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose they made an edit where they had to.
Yeah. But that would also, that certainly explains one of the things, because I remember getting to that sequence and thinking, that was an interesting bit. What happened there? It was the only bit of action we saw from Moon Knight for about 2 episodes.
Of all of the big things that it's doing, I would love to touch on its portrayal of dissociative identity disorder.
Yes.
Because so far in movies and TV, we've seen it portrayed quite poorly and a little bit fetishized and doing a bit of a disservice to people that actually suffer with this disorder. And Moon Knight is actually treating it quite respectfully. And I got a shout out to bringing this disorder to light, because I think it's about 1% to 3% of people in the world actually do suffer with DID.
Wow. I didn't realize the percentage was that high. That's astonishing.
Yes. So unfortunately, it is a disorder that is stemmed from childhood trauma, most commonly. I've been doing a bit of research actually about it, trying to learn more. Because there has been a bit of ruckus on the internet now of like people wanting to have the 2016 M. Night Shyamalan movie Split removed from streaming services because of its very poor portrayal of DID.
That's the one we talked about.
I hated that movie so much.
You can go back and listen to our podcast on it in like number...
pretty sure we weren't in love with it back then.
No.
I never actually watched that movie, and I watched it today because I wanted to see like what it was all about. Right. And so a guy with DID with 23 different personalities is out there committing atrocities. And it's like, that's not somebody that has been traumatized would do. Like, they don't become serial killers.
No.
They're more likely to self-harm than harm others. So, that was a pretty fucked up movie. And then you also have stuff like, does anybody remember the Jim Carrey film, Me, Myself, and Irene?
Oh my god.
Yes. So crazy. They treated DID as a schizophrenic disorder, which it is not.
Well, and for a long time people would misdiagnose it. And funnily enough, even in the original comic books of Moon Knight, he was categorized as schizophrenic until they realized that A, that's the wrong term, but also, I mean, We've changed our language around it a lot too, that it was
schizophrenia, it used to be multiple personality disorder.
Yeah. And now dissociative identity. And it is, it's been a very easy trope to write into a story.
I mean, look at Fight Club. Their whole plot device was based around DID. And Secret Window? Do you remember that
one? I don't think I've seen that.
Was it Johnny Depp movie? Was it based on a Stephen King book? I can't remember. It was the one where he was a writer and then he worked out at the end that he was the killer. He was writing about this killer and then he realized it was himself. because he actually had multiple personalities.
Spoiler.
Our review of Split, we gave it 42% awesome.
Oof.
Way back then, and it has gone to the oubliette now. So if you want to listen to it, please reach out and you may have it. But I also noticed that back then, our producer Phil, also wrote an article about it, which is available on our website, discussing mental illness and the portrayals of DID within Split. You go read more about it there. There you go.
Rob mentions the TV series called United States of Tara. Yes, that is another show that portrays DID, but I have not seen that one, so I can't comment.
The it also Moon Knight, I think, gets explored in... Oh, sorry, I was going to say it also gets explored in Doom Patrol, which...
Yes.
...is interesting. I don't, like, it's probably a lot more sort of... It's they go into it a lot more in Doom Patrol, but at the same time, it's a lot more comic booky. So it's kind of here and there.
But yeah,
but very interesting.
Moon Knight is making strides in awareness about DID. So I'm happy for this show.
Yeah, I also like the fact, and whether you love the show or not, whether you find the show works for you, or whether you're kind of like, it's a little bit, whatever. There's one thing that is pretty fucking undeniable, and it is the quality of Oscar Isaac's performance.
Acting.
Holy acting.
I mean, I feel like he was, you know, as you have pointed out in the ticker there, Quinny, he was criminally underutilized in X-Men Apocalypse, and as well as the Star Wars sequel trilogy. So
somehow my career came back.
It's returned, Quinny. Somehow. Oh, his career returned.
Sorry, my apologies.
I did do that sub-edit on your ticket text, so.
Can't even get the quote right.
Can't even get the quote right, Quinny.
I've watched the film fucking twice. It was a
Luke.
Oh, you gave it two watches?
Luke, I am your uncle. That's the right line, right, Quinny? Because you know what tomorrow is?
May?
Yes, it's my religious holiday.
Are you taking
I'm actually
the day
wearing
off?
A Sotaru shirt.
So am I.
Absolutely no way anyone can get around me referencing Star Wars in this month, and also stuff coming up as well. Don't ask me to do anything on the 28th or 7th.
Yeah.
27th. Yeah. Anyway, now I've got that out of my system. Carry on.
Back to Oscar Isaac. It was, I kept having to remind myself in episode 5 that it was two performances.
Yeah.
Yes.
That he wasn't playing opposite himself. He, like, that's, you know, fairly impressive. And, like, the bad accent is deliberately bad, right? Because.
Yeah, he's a constant. Like, well, I mean,
not a big character. I don't know that it's bad.
Well, it is not a super solid accent.
I mean, it is supposed to be fake accent.
Well, I mean, that's the idea, right? Because the one thing I do remember about, even though I didn't watch the trailers, I remember people giving shit about accent, and I was like, I actually don't care. But it does kind of make sense if it's you know a learned accent from. Look, from other media.
Oscar is a graduate of the Quinny Accent School. So.
And we got them tonight.
You can see the teachings that I have imparted upon him.
Yes.
Here's how you do an accent badly.
You just sound like Ozzy Osbourne, but not. Don't even try and change your own voice. Just pretend.
A sober Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Hello, police. I'd like to report a murder. Of this guy's accent. Oh my god.
I did see a bunch of people really hacking on it for that accent, and I was kind of like,
I think they're kind of missing the point, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, but this but is, also, that was kind of that fun discovery for the audience during some of this stuff, because, you know, this is where I think it succeeds, where we know that there's some failures. It really succeeded because he's a character no one knows anything about. It's literally establishing stuff, and it's making people go, that's weird. And then pushing a few things, like feeding it out to the audience to go, yeah, but there's a reason. And I kind of feel that that's the whole thing of the show at the moment, is like, they can't just bear with us. There's a reason. Is that like we got to the hippopotamus one and we're like, bear with us. There's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things.
There's something I'm dying to talk about in spoilers.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Sorry to bring the hippo into the room again.
Yeah. And I do think that there's a lot of really interesting stuff in there. If you're one of those people who goes onto the internet and looks at all of those what it means videos and shit like that,
yes,
this show is just layered with meaning. There are so many hints or suggestions or possibilities as to what things mean that you will keep going for months. There's a bit that was actually confirmed by one of the production crew that a patch on the back of one of the characters is based on the design of another version of Kang the Conqueror, who at one point was an Egyptian god. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, so they specifically, right, cool, great.
So many Easter eggs.
It's just swimming in them. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you may not, like, you can watch it without picking up any of them at all.
Yeah.
Because it's not, it doesn't feel like it's connected to the rest of the Marvel Universe particularly.
Mm. And
like, there's no references to Avengers or anything like that.
Yeah, no. Do you feel like it needs a direct reference, or are you actually enjoying that way that it can breathe a little bit? Because I really kind of like that, to get slightly spoilery, but not too spoilery. I really like the explanation of the afterlife when that came out and it was explained across things. And it was like, this is just your representation of however you feel of whatever you believe in. And I'm just here as like a guide through that, because there's many different kinds and we all serve the same kind of purpose. And I was like, this is great, because it helps explain the afterlife in Black Panther. It helps explain, you know, all of the different, it just gives it room to say you can have all of these different gods and ideas in the Marvel Universe and none of them is exclusively correct.
Yeah. I mean, we're learning that this universe is huge. So there has to be room for smaller stories in there.
Yeah. And that is something that feels weird, is that it is an oddly small story, even though it's about gods, even though it's about, like, you know.
But it hasn't referenced anything else, and I like that.
I feel this is where it's missing the trick, is that it's a small story about a smaller character dealing with smaller things. It feels like a Daredevil kind of scene, if I can use that metaphor, where Moon Knight didn't technically need to save the world, but at the moment he's being set up to save the world. And I'm like, I don't need stakes of that if I have a good character. And already, because of Oscar Isaac's performance and what he's been able to do, he's a good character. He doesn't need to save the world for me to be heroic. He just needs to prove that he has heroic qualities.
That's enough.
This whole thing I'm looking at going, oh, he's going to come and he's got to stop this thing from coming back and it's going to destroy the world. I'm like, I don't care. Could he just not maybe see his dad again? That's enough. Like, I'd love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you got to do, bro. Maybe be nice to your girlfriend, eh? Maybe.
Yeah, rather than the big bad be a crocodile deity, why not the big bad just be like him?
Oh, if he could just punch Ra's avatar in the face, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just one of those other ones, just two gods fighting, like, you know, they just inhabit each other and just beat the shit out of each other. So Khonshu could say, Ra, you piece of shit. They're like, that'd be great.
Meanwhile, there's all these other little gods going, Ra is the sun god, Ra is the sun god, Ra, Ra, Ra.
Gods with beef just bashing the shit out of each other. Where's that show?
For a second there, I actually thought that the end of the last episode might be the end of the series. I had to kind of double check because I was like, not that for spoilery reasons, I'll say why I thought that, but I was like, that would be an interesting end to this setup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And
yeah.
To be honest, there's a part of me that still almost hopes it does do that because there's other things in there as well that haven't been dealt with. And there's other things that I'm really fascinated by. Like, you know, we're talking about the different altars, and at the moment, it appears there's two.
Okay, but can we get to spoilers? Because I need to talk about this further.
Then we get into really interesting shit, and it's
I've got a clip of, you know, the first time that Mark convinces Stephen to, you know, change. But quick rating then for the series, and then we'll do that clip, and then you can talk. We can talk spoilers, so fairly warned.
Okay,
everyone in the chat.
I am going for 73.
Surprisingly low.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, it's up and down. It's all over the place. If I could rate the whole series just on episode 5, I would give it 90. But, like, there's just too much in there that wasn't appealing or kind of feels a little bit misplaced. And, like, the story is getting big and then it's getting small and then big and then small. And I just want a little bit more consistency from this series. But the really, really good bits are really, really good. It's just, unfortunately, there are some crappy bits.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down with that. I'm going to rate this one 78. I think, I'm very much like you. I think it started strong and there were some great ideas and there's some really cool surprises, but then there were some really weird slow bits and some other bits that didn't work at all.
Yeah.
And I loved Khonshu when he was this terrifying image that would show up and stuff, but then he became like some dickhead sitting around being, the assholes from The Muppet Show, just throwing in comments, and you're like, fuck off.
But that's how you really be.
Ghost.
Yeah, yeah. Ghost.
But then you get this whole thing as, you know, to the mental illness side of it, and then you get this trauma, and all of that stuff is fucking great and fascinating and the performances are amazing, but then there's other bits that don't work. And who knows, maybe after tomorrow night, after it's all finished, I would rate it completely differently. But at the moment, it's a pretty good. Dion?
Oh, I was waiting for Peter to jump in. She looked like she was ready to rate this one all the way to the bank. Look, I always start with a high score and then knock points off of things I don't like. Look, I had a really good time with how much they played with a bunch of like stuff about Egypt and cultural stuff, and had one of those conversations just recently going, I really like that this isn't a show specifically directed towards me in most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which made it interesting because it's setting it through a different lens, and it's actually involving people who are related to the culture, talking about their culture in a way that is represented well. Like it's fresher than I thought. And I really kind of liked that. But again, I hated the bits who were a little bit too slow, or I'm still not really across the villain thing, but the acting's really good. So I'm vacillating between two. Well, like the scales, I can't balance to sit on a figure. All right. If you're going to push me for it, I have to throw one of my things off, you know, the good figure, and now it'll come down to the bad figure of 79. Is that all right?
That's terrible. It's slightly higher than mine.
It was going to be 89. See, this is where I say that the scales are like balancing in a weird way. And I was like, oh, the good one will die. As a spoiler reference. Go, Pete.
I don't know. I mean, so far I've liked 3 out of 5 episodes that I've watched. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of things that I like about it. And now that it's kind of got me in with 4 and 5, I'm looking forward to 6. 72. Because like 3 out of 5, that's kind of 60, but then extra points for Oscar Isaac's performance and then deducting points because I don't think it's passed the Bechdel test yet.
Oops. Yeah.
Oopsie daisies. Females at all.
Oopsie daisies. We just have one female character who is awesome, but we also kind of want to protect. Well, we don't, but the key character kind of wants to protect. So they're kind of, you know, still missing a mark a little bit there, even though she's actually super cool and we should talk about her after the clip.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we're all good. Okay, let's go to the clip and then I'll put on the spoilery thing and then we'll come back and go.
Steven, you gotta give me control. It's the only way.
You're gonna die, Steven.
You're not gonna die. Let me save us.
Mr. Knight? Oh, hang on. No, Mr. Knight's a totally different character.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. No, that's the Moon Knight. That's Mark Spector's avataristic representation of Khonshu.
Yes.
You get it? Who beats the piss out of things.
Thanks, nerd.
I did enjoy that, too, that they gave us, like, the difference between the two different avatars.
Yes.
That Mark Spector's Moon Knight is very traditional and stuff like that because that's what he's worked out, whereas Stephen Grant's Moon Knight is Mr. Knight, who's a dude in a suit.
It's it's a suit. What do you want?
Yeah, I put on the suit.
You really should have been more specific.
Yeah.
See, that's funny. Like, these are the fun things about it because there's a lot of little jokes in it that make it kind of nice and fun throughout the whole thing. It's usually from Steven, and that's why we like him as a character.
Yes.
You know, because everyone could be Steven. You know,
I like him as a character until sometimes when I didn't. Most of the time I thought Steven was the more likable of the two characters, but then occasionally he'd do something and I'd be like, fuck, you're a dick.
Oh.
Yeah, right. He has a little bit of that nice guy energy that
some weird incel
some
vibes.
Fucking hate there. On for really? Steven. Jesus.
Oh, he's such a little puppy.
Yeah.
Just a poor boy from a poor family working his life in a gift shop for free.
Wow.
I have a question. I don't know if I missed something or what. Is it not like implied sometime during episode 3 that there is a third persona?
Yes. Have I not missed? Just episode 3, but episode 5 as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And well, at the end of episode 4 as well, there was a third sarcophagus.
Yes.
So, yes,
there was a third identity in episode 3 because Mark was like, I didn't kill that guy. And Steven's like, I didn't kill that guy neither. But there is a third identity from the comics called Jake Lockley. And there's probably a hint that he is in there. Maybe we'll see him in episode 6. Because in episode 5, where they're having all of these things in the
asylum?
In the asylum, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
He's having conversations with the doctor all the time. And there was a version of them that had a busted nose.
Mm-hmm.
And that character had a very different personality than Mark.
And a different accent.
Even. And yeah, and a different accent too.
At one point,
very
he picks up,
New York.
Yeah.
Like a Brooklyn kind of Queensy accent.
Yeah, he picks up like the glass paperweight thing and threatens him. And it is a full Brooklyn. And I was like, oh shit, it's the other one.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
All of these things. Are we going to you go, Quinny.
No, I love. Like that. I like that they're not doing everything and there's still enough in there that could be a mystery or that could be unsure as to what is happening. Mm. But the shit out of me that we're going to get to the end of the season and just be, that's it.
I really don't know how this is going to end.
Well, we got to see a little bit of that in the teaser for episode 6. Going, oh, the finale. And apparently there is like, you can see it in the trailer for episode 6. It's just Moon Knight and I've forgotten his character name already. Ethan Hawke's
Harrow.
Harrow. Fighting on a pyramid.
Oh.
And lots of purple energy around. And I'm like, ooh, don't want this to be. I don't want that. I don't need more purple, like random purple energy. Why is
you don't
purple...
need more sky beams?
No more fucking sky beams. No more giant devices constructed by the evil person that will destroy the world unless you can just move a tiny screw. Like, I don't need that.
Yeah,
I need more of Mark just, you know, having some good mental health days and repairing relationships that he busted. Aww. That's fine.
See, I'm kind of hoping, and this is, I don't know whether it's spoiler territory or you know, pure speculation territory.
Sure.
But I really want this to go into that weird thing where there is no solid answer. That I would love for this to end, or at least come to the end of this season, or whatever the fuck it ends up being, with a big question mark of going, maybe none of this was real.
Ooh. Maybe. Like, and it was all a dream.
Well, I mean, fuck, this is a guy who is potentially really mentally unwell and doesn't have any concept of what is reality and what is true. He's dreaming. He's talking about gods. He's talking about disassociative identities. He's maybe dead. He's maybe alive. He may be five characters. He may be one. I love the idea of leaving that as a big fucking maybe.
Sure.
I do have one but why that I didn't like fully understand.
Thank God, because earlier the chat was like, but there's no but why.
Where's Peter's but why?
Where's Peter's but why?
But why?
They were waiting for it.
So the Stephen persona was basically created to protect young Mark from the abuse that he was about to suffer. So then why is the Stephen persona the one that doesn't remember the abuse? I didn't get that. Like, if he turned into Stephen to protect himself from the abuse, then why is Stephen the one that's like, no, she was an angel. That's not what happened.
I think it's a complexity that you can have blackouts and amnesia between personalities. Right. So, yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from, like, logically. Like, if he's the one that's taking the brunt of the abuse, then why doesn't he remember it? But...
See, but this is also we don't know enough about it to have the understanding. He might not be the one. He might be the one that was the personality, the identity that was constructed to protect Mark. But then there may have been another identity that was constructed to protect Stephen.
Yeah, maybe
like, it's just it could.
Yeah, I think like Stephen was pretty protected from it all. So I'd probably say maybe Mark just flicked back when he was being abused, as horrible as that is.
I also think that there's a possibility that the whole thing of Stephen is the relationship with the mother.
Sorry, Rob's just made a really good point that actually Jake is the persona that takes the abuse. That's why he's the boxer.
Yeah, right.
And that the Stephen persona was the identity that he adopted to be the good son. And that actually, now that Rob, thanks Rob, now it makes sense to me.
And Mark is the good son, he's the one that his mother can do no wrong.
And Mark
he's,
is the Indiana, you know, Jones character.
Devoted and sweet and a bit of a punching bag for the world, but he's nice, so that's okay. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense that you create a persona that, is what you're not. But then again, I don't know how DID works. So,
yeah.
But fuck, that was inside, wasn't it?
So, one of the things that I liked, like, about this was the way that it represented a lot of Egyptian gods and deities. And can we talk about Tawaret now?
Tawaret, oh, she's so cute.
I know. It's kind of, yes, the giant hippo lady. Who is just there to be a functionary, really. She's just a nice nursemaid, just going, I've just got to get you across the Sea of the Dead to the grass fields. You'll be happy.
Yeah. All you got to do is make sure that scale balances.
Yeah.
So interestingly, she is, she's not necessarily usually that role. She is the god of fertility and motherhood.
Yeah.
So, but also protection, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah. But that whole thing of motherhood is another thematic thing of going, oh shit, right, okay, we're dealing with, you know, a different kind of mother figure. I love her. I think she's a beautiful character.
And
very well done.
Yeah, and interesting that they were able to put a lot of supporting characters as, you know, Middle Eastern people in there. able to play those characters, able to be part of it as well, even though, like, I fully agree, it's very three character centric, which would be, you know, Arthur Harrow and Layla and Mark or Stephen. It really revolves around all those three. And I think you're quite right in saying earlier that Layla is the one who loses out the most, because I feel like she has absolutely a very interesting kick-ass story and absolutely does not get to expand on that, or we don't get to follow her enough. She's always the one running around either towing Stephen or trying to catch up to Mark, and it's just a little bit frustrating just for her because she's great.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
You know.
Did you have further on her, Pete? Because I feel like she was somebody that you wanted to talk to.
I feel like Dion just kind of summarized my feelings on it. Like, it's great to have female characters, and she's obviously extremely capable, but she does seem to exist to serve Mark / Stephen in the plot. And that's, you know, at this stage in the journey, it's a little bit of an irrit to me. And like, there are so many other ways they could get more key female characters into stories like this without breaking a sweat. But
considering, you know, so much of the Egyptian pantheon is female, you know.
I just want to say, Predakanga raised a good point, is that it was established early that Khonshu wanted her as his next avatar, and it could turn out that Mark actually dies and she becomes the Moon Knight, and it just goes on to season two following her as Moon Knight.
Oh.
I mean, it could be, but that also, like, irritates me a little bit because it means that, you know, Mark's entire motivation is to protect his lady, and, you know, that's kind of like a near fridging to me. It's fridge adjacent.
So many adjacents tonight.
it's a fair cop though. I mean, I'm really hoping, because we've got Ms. Marvel, the TV show, coming out soon.
Oh my God.
And I'm really curious to see how that representation goes, or is she always just going, I wish I could be Spider-Man. It's like, shut up, you're failing the test.
She doesn't want to be Spider-Man. She writes a Spider-Man fan fiction. She wants to be Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Apologies.
Yeah. Yep. I can imagine her writing / fic, you know, turning red style and getting all like,
It's canon. Quinny, have you not read Ms. Marvel?
I haven't, no.
She writes hero fan fiction.
Is it / fic?
Tell me it's / fic.
Probably. She's shipping the superheroes in the comic and writing fan fiction.
That's amazing. And I am very excited to see that show now. And
how hard are they leaning into that, though? I want to see Disney just be like, yeah, we've made this person. They write / fic. Now, don't do anything bad or we'll set the mouse lawyers on you. Oh, dear. It got weird. How are we feeling about F. Murray Abraham?
Amazing.
Always amazing.
I enjoy him, but, yeah, as I say, I got to a point where I was like, I was loving Khonshu as this weird, terrifying thing that would show up and you know, you were never sure whether it was going to eat you or whatever. And then at a certain point, I'm like, it's just F. Murray Abraham.
Only when he starts talking and then hanging out, as you're right, like, I'm just the ghost. I'm just an annoying person. I was like,
yeah, he's a bit of a dick. Khonshu's a dick.
Where's the horror element? But see, this is what I really like with the first half of the season, which is there's this great schism, the great narrative thing that they had between half of the story you're never getting and it's terrifying for this character you're following. You know, Stephen is terrified. What the fuck is going on? He doesn't understand it. And that worked so well. And then once they started to resolve that, it became, that's where I think it started to go, we're going to do this and this is how it'll get resolved. And I'm like, no, just could have kept switching. You could have.
I think if they had switching. Just played the story from like one perspective and then in the next episode from the other side, and that could have been.
Yeah. Well, yeah, do three or four
seems
episodes.
Seems like they were trying
that.
To do that.
Yeah.
Trying to do a little bit of that in the first one, especially when you see like in that first episode, so much of the flick between Stephen and Mark in like the blacking out and stuff. I found that really cool.
I mean, I really like the fact that Steven got to use his brain, as it were, to be able to know more about things which actually helped there, because yes. Mark kind of sort of...
It's definitely more capable than Mark.
Is Mark trying to protect Steven, or is Mark annoyed with Steven? Like, these are the things that I'm not quite sure. I absolutely love that thing that happened in episode 5 where, you know, Mark got beaten up and Steven had to, like, protect him. And the roles got switched, and you sort of saw Steven coming into his own when he was kind of realizing, no, wait, I know, I'm you. I can do this.
If I am you, then you are me.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah. Only to just get fridged. Fridge adjacent. On that, which was very sad to watch because it was very emotional.
Oh my God, my heart broke that episode.
Poor fucking Steve.
So good. Acting.
I mean,
it was like there were so many moments in that episode where you're going through the history of those two characters that you can see, and I loved being able to see the real trauma happening. You could see, you know, that Mark knew enough to say don't go here, but at the same time Steven's trying to find it out, and it was just such a fucking journey. And interestingly enough, like, they've done interesting things there. So his character, his brother, was killed in the water, in the comics is actually one of his major villains. So that's a choice, I guess. And it's probably a little bit on the nose to have, you know, one of your major villains be your brother. But yeah, it was like, oh, okay, wow. And yes, as Darkseid says, bing bong flashbacks.
Oh dear. Yes. Disney know how to twist the knife, don't they?
It's good. I mean, I think that this one, there might have been a bit of grinding on bone in that knife twist. So maybe not quite as effective, but just a little bit uncomfortable, because it just was like, oh, I'm still not sure where I sit with Moon Knight. Like, it's an interesting series. It didn't have that sort of fun and pizzazz and sort of Marvel Universe shakingness that Loki had. But it's still trying to tell a story like that, and that's where I kind of think, it's all right. Just go down a little bit. It's fine. You've already got all these giant franchises that are literally going to shake everything up in the Marvel Universe. You know, it's like, yes, we don't need that. We just need smaller stories.
We don't need a multiverse treatment on this.
No. And it's kind of one of the things I want to see more in Marvel as they go forward, is show characters that are heroic because of the things that they do that help to affect the people around them, or just the small people, because that's heroism, and that's something that kids or people could emulate, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
You don't need to make great grand sacrifices of, you know, I need to sell my soul to the Egyptian god Khonshu and then beat the shit out of people who are evil. We don't need to do that. We could just be like, I held the door open and someone thought, brightened someone's day. That's heroic, like Captain America would do.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
I mean, it's one of the reasons I loved so many of those Netflix Marvel shows, is because they were street level. You know, Daredevil was very definitely not saving the world. He was saving his block.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I mean, it was a 4x4, like, square in the whole kitchen of Manhattan. Like, honestly, very small.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay, though. But, that's what he's doing.
Yeah. And I could very easily imagine, like, this aspect of the Marvel Universe interacting with that. Like, I could imagine, you know, Moon Knight running into Daredevil or something like that and going,
okay,
I don't know whether you're a fucking figment of my imagination or what.
I still want to see John Bernthal's Punisher come back. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Punisher and the, like, him coming up against Spider-Man, Tom Holland? That would be great.
Oh my God.
Because that's where the Punisher first came in, was in Amazing Spider-Man. I would love for Tom Holland to have to act across John Bernthal just trying to shoot him. That's funny. Anyway.
Can't stop it, Red. Darkseid asked the question, have we read Spider-Bite by Tom Taylor? Has anyone here read it? I haven't read it yet.
Not yet.
Did I? No.
We love Tom. Tom is one of the best people in the world.
He's busy doing DC stuff now.
Well,
doing all of the things.
Yes. He's a wonderful, wonderful human, but I have not read that particular series. But it was about like a young kid Spider-Man, so which I think sounds very, very cool. Okay. Sorry, I was just reading what Darkseid was saying, and now I know exactly who he is. So, yay. Hi.
Hey, man.
What are we doing next week?
What are we doing next week? Have you... wait, what I need to know is, does next week podcast bulk bill? Because we're off to see...
the Doctor.
Doctor. Is there a doctor in the house? I have a strange feeling that this is getting too loaded with metaphors.
Oh, no.
Not even metaphors. Next week is the Doctor Strange, because that comes out Thursday, doesn't it, this week in Australia?
Yes, well, or tomorrow.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whenever you want to.
So, are you going to a Wednesday night screening, Jill?
I am.
Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm leaving you guys in my dust because we didn't get tickets from Disney. So I'm like, screw you, Mouse. I'm going to go buy my own.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
I'm going to have my own Doctor Strange with blackjack and hookers. Hang on. No.
I will, as I stated earlier, I will be observing my religious holiday tomorrow. Which is basically a crass consumerist way of encouraging people to buy more Star Wars toys.
More Dion's to buy Star Wars toys.
Look, they just sit there. I'm just getting
they
all
just
this
appear in your shopping cart.
I'm just getting all these things of like, hey, we're having a massive sale tomorrow for May the 4th, and I'm like, cool. It's like my Black Friday specifically.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. 20% off Lego, but only the Star Wars ones.
Yes, and only if you go in character dressed as a Star Wars character to one of the stores in Sydney. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I can try, but it's going to look like a dollar store version. And they specifically said in the terms and conditions, no, you can't just bung a mask on and say that you are. Fair enough.
That's fair.
But, you know, look,
they put in some fucking effort. Plenty of masks to choose from at home.
It's May the 4th and then Revenge of the Sith, 6th.
May the 5th.
Yes. May the 5th be with you. You can do all those sorts of things. But, we have Doctor Strange coming up next Tuesday. Then we have Friday the 13th.
Ooh, horror. Scary.
Horror. Then Tuesday the 17th, nothing important happening that day.
Nothing.
Tuesday the 24th is Station 11, so don't forget to get onto Station 11.
I'm going to catch that up, yeah.
I still haven't finished watching Severance, which is the last day of the
month.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
And also, yes, 27th of May, we'll be back doing more animates with the Samurai special.
Yes.
I just realized that's Obi-Wan night.
Oh, fuck, is it?
Yes, God damn it, animates.
Okay,
we'll pew, 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 suck it.
God damn it.
It's
just have to watch it after we do our show, I guess.
Yes. It's going to be the fastest animates ever.
No games this week, just show.
Just show, pure show.
Yeah, so samurais are cool. Samurai Jack, Samurai Pizza Cats.
It's just going to be 10 minutes of listing samurai cartoons and then we're going.
Yep. Samurai from Star Wars Visions. Oh, that's it, bye. Amazing, and we'll get all that sort of stuff out ready for the rest of the month. Oh, my God.
Well, thank you, you wonderful people. I love you all in the chat. You're extraordinarily creative and funny people. And yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We love having you here. So thank you so much, Casper, as always. Like, dropping those subs like it's gone out of fashion. But, you're all wonderful. Oh, Rob says, the new series, Samurai Rabbit on Netflix, which is...
Usagi Yojimbo. Yeah.
It's not called that, though. It's called something Usagi. Oh. And he's not...
Okay.
Usagi Yojimbo, it's called Samurai Rabbit, and I've watched an episode and I have very strong opinions about it.
Ooh, okay,
does that qualify? No.
Stay safe from spoilers.
If you're
hanging out for Doctor Strange, everyone.
Yep.
And join the Marvel
Apparently
Cinematic.
We have to avoid the premiere altogether because half the cast.
Well, that was tonight.
No, but I mean, sorry, the actual gala.
Right. Oh, okay. Stay off the internet until you go to watch your thing.
Yeah, just stay off the internet.
We will zip it until next Tuesday.
Yes, and if you're in the Facebook group, the Marvel Cinema TV Chair Facebook group.
Maybe mute it just in case.
Just mute it in case, but also if you are in it, don't spoil shit.
Don't be a dick.
We'll banhammer you.
Yeah.
You'll have a timeout bin. Timeout.
You go to sit in the naughty corner.
You go sit in the naughty corner. Yep.
Yeah, I think we came to the agreement that for the spoiler group, we'll probably wait until after the weekend. So people that are going to watch it on first weekend will have a chance. So basically, by the time the show comes around next week.
Give us some breathing room and we'll all have fun with it together. Yes.
Had to mute that group for months after Spider-Man.
Oh, you fine.
Quinny, did you end up seeing the Batman yet? That's a question.
Yes. Quinny.
I was like, pizza with that one.
Yeah. Yes, Quinny. No, I did finally get around to watching him. The Batman.
I love that one of the first comments I read under something about the Batman was someone just absolutely hating on it. And I was like, oh, wow, why? It wasn't that bad. It was not a bad film.
Oh, no, I thought it was quite good and really enjoyable. And
I enjoyed it.
All right. Yes, if you haven't watched Moon Knight, go watch Moon Knight. It's okay. You'll make up your own mind, but you'll really fall in love with Oscar Isaac.
You can watch it all tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. The moon resides behind you and
listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.